Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The DraftKings Fantasy Football Show. Sunday morning, 8 to 10 on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Mike Lockhart and Tucker Silva help you get your lineup set for the day on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Greetings, foolish mortals. For unbeknownst to you, you have entered Brandon Merriweather's
Haunted House
of Horrors.
Act like little kids.
Follow the dreadlocked one if you dare.
I don't know if I can do it.
Act like little females.
Behold, what is that evil form that is taking shape in the darkness?
The Ixibixi spider.
It's the Ixibixi spider of doom.
Act like little kids.
Be careful, for who knows what evil awaits. What is that up ahead?
The Big Bang Clock.
Ah! Act like little kids.
And now, the most terrifying vision of all. A man who can hit you so hard he can paralyze you. Talking about Mickey Mouse.
Tigger was my favorite character. You know, everybody liked Mickey Mouse and, you know, Donald Duck and all them. But mine was actually Mickey. Everybody liked Mickey Mouse. Tigger.
I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite.
Godsmack, I put on you a spell of shortness. Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:50 or 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Tom Brady lead his team against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers this Sunday night at Gillette Stadium.
Is the room spinning? Oh, there's all sorts of evil magic in this room.
That's coming up tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30.
It's the darkest magic. One sent by a man three apples tall.
So, Nick reminded us that we have done this segment before, but in honor of Halloween.
Have we done this? This is
I don't remember doing this before.
Let's just set this up. This is delirium, okay? This is when we're just in the other room. It's been a long-ass week. Everyone's been up really late watching all of these games. And what was proposed that we would do?
Who's the spookiest? The most terrifying member of 98.5 The Sports Hub?
No, is this just by looks alone?
Whatever metric you want to use. 617-779-0985.
This is so stupid.
No, it's not. Who's the spookiest member?
All right, I have to keep track.
On air talent. At 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Like somebody who would just be, if you saw them lurking in the background somewhere.
Like if there was a haunted house and you walked into a room, who would you be the most frightened of?
Yeah, who would you least want to find hiding in your closet?
Right.
Which member of the...
Like if you like, you know, the horror movies.
Might want to give that number out again, friend.
Well, we're on delay. 617-779-0985. Who is the spookiest member of the on-air staff of 98.5 The Sports Hub? They'll make you cringe.
Look at those phones light up.
They are. Actually.
Look at them go.
There is terror on the airwaves.
Like, who like you could see calling you and saying, have you checked the children?
Yeah. All right. We've narrowed it down to three people, and I think we're going to get a lot of calls about them. Here's one. Andrew, go ahead.
I said it when we first did the bit. I'll say it again. Marshall Hook has way too many kids.
Yeah, Marshall Hook has a lot of kids.
Are they his?
Very little money.
Are they missing from cities across America?
Marshall, he's always complaining.
He is. Like, he is prone to snap with anger.
Yes.
Just in fits of rage.
Yeah.
Again, who is the spookiest member of the on-air staff at 98.5 The Sports Hub? Who terrifies the... One of the three that we've picked out. Kevin, go ahead.
Could you imagine... I don't know what Sarge looks like with hair, but could you imagine... Bald Sarge, ear to ear grin, wide eyed, just creeping in the back of the haunted house. That'd be terrifying.
You walk into a room and he's like, "Hey,
oh, hey there, guys." Yeah, I don't know. Sarge would be terrifying. First person that came to mind.
Yeah, that's.
Right, I do have a beef to pick with you, and it ain't a beef teriyaki from the Kowloon.
Sarge. What's up, Zoe?
That's right, as he stabs you in the stomach.
It's all good, baby.
Don't you have the Sarge? Where he's like, the jaw Sarge?
Oh, I mean, listen, he is kind of spooky.
I'm watching you, sir.
He's like floating through the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we have that around here somewhere.
All right, this one off the page. Grain?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
John, you look just like Nosferatu. It's not even funny. You look
really?
Like you're about to suck my blood. Yeah.
Oh, from the old movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
That is a good point, Dave. The similar shaped heads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Again, Rich, who is the spookiest?
I've forgotten that one.
Member of the 98.5 The Sports Hub staff.
Hey, Zoe, ready to sail the seven seas?
Sarge, sub, Zoe. It's all good, baby.
Again, Rich, who is the spookiest member of 98.5 The Sports Hub?
So he says Big Jim Murray for the spookiest. If I come home and that behemoth was hiding in the shadows with his sunglasses, I'd freak.
I saw a picture of him with his hat off.
Oh.
He's tremendously bald. Jay, go ahead. Jay.
Because
he already has the catchphrase.
All good, baby.
Like he's eating you. It's all good, baby. Right.
Or he's like serving you to his like deranged family for dinner, you know.
It's all good, baby.
Like, you want to get let out of the hole in the living room? And he's like, it's all good, baby. Why?
Sarge here.
Yes, that's right.
But it's still all good.
We're getting some names I didn't expect.
I know. But they are not in the system. Kevin, go ahead. Or Johnny, go ahead. I want to take Kevin, actually. Hold. And now, here we go. Kevin, who is the spookiest member of the 98.5 The Sports Hub?
The creature from the wrestling room, James Stewart.
Fear me.
Yes, that's right.
Hey.
Feel the pain.
Now, I would go James Stewart on the people.
Oh. Yes, that's his entrance theme.
Karate chop.
Hey, what you doing?
Want a bowling shirt covered in skulls? They got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's this cat skull. Make that 5, 6, 7. What's 7? Johnny had 7 cat skulls. Rita came over with 4. How many cat skulls were there?
Rita?
Rita slaughtered 8 cats. Each cat had a pint of blood in them. How many pints and make it into ounces?
Boots to asses.
I I want to bathe in blood.
Back in the dungeon.
All right. We'll get back to this.
Will we now?
Oh, yeah.
It's far too popular to let go. Come on.
We're doing it. Who is the most spooky member of 98.5 The Sports Hub on air staff?
Well, as we know, Jimmy Stewart does have a dungeon.
Yep.
He does. And he once made a commercial for it.
He did.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Fear me.
Fear me.
Respect me. Why? Because I shop at the Rogue House. The Rogue House Leather Dojo. This is James Stewart from 98.5 The Sports Hub. And if you want to look tough like me, Rogue House Leather Dojo is your one-stop shop for all your badass clothing needs. Want the newest from Ed Hardy? They got it. Want a bowling shirt covered in skulls? They got it. Want a belt buckle that says no fat chicks? They got it. Boots, vests, belts, martial arts, barrettes. They got it all at the Rogue House Leather Dojo. Fear me.
Fear me. Fear me.
The Rogue House Leather Dojo. It's everything you need to tell the world, hey, I'm a tough guy. What are you going to do about it? And downstairs is our award-winning martial arts dojo dungeon. Anything goes in the dungeon. It's mano a mano. No holds barred. Bare knuckle paradise. Want to fight? Bet you don't. No fat chicks.
Fat chicks. Fat chicks.
Hi. So get on your hog and wheel up to the Rogue House Leather and Martial Arts Dojo Dungeon in Wellesley. Take it from me, James Stewart from 98.5 The Sports Hub. One look at me and you'll be like, no way, Jose. That's a tough guy. The Rogue House Leather Dojo.
Leather Dojo.
Want to fight? Bet you don't.
Jerry Rabish.
To get a jolt from my electrodes. They did a monster mash.
Monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
.985 The Sports. We are Toucher and Rich. And you know it's an award-winning show when young Nicholas, with his bad heart, reminded us that there was a segment we did that was, who's the, Rich, the spookiest member of 98.5 The Sports.
The dumbest thing we've ever done.
No, it's not. It's not the dumbest.
No, because now I'm looking at some of the suggestions and just, they're inspired, is that the word?
That is. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, so I know this doesn't match the criteria perfectly, but I think given the spooky convergence of Halloween and the Red Sox parade, we would be remiss if we did not mention the haunting ghosts in Peter Gammons' house and all the other spooky noises.
That's right. When he was in his dungeon with the whips.
That's the price has to be right. Scott did not have a great winter last year with Lokes and Bourne and some of those other guys. I think when you look, he lost Cano. In my mind, the next best free agent on the market is Barton.
Every time just I hear whips. That, I just picture Gammons on the phone, like, absentmindedly whipping a gimp. Like, Gammons in, like, buttless chaps. Just, like dressed like Rob Halford.
Leatherette.
Like, he's just been up all night.
Yeah.
There's a guy in a rack.
Like, he's like, oh, boy. Like, I got to whip you during... I got to take this phone call while I whip you. Frank, go ahead.
I tell you, James Stewart, low-hanging fruit.
the easiest, the clearest, most biggest serial killer, spookiest is 4'9" Bob Soshi. Scares the crap out of me.
Why does he scare the hell out of you?
It's like Cousin It.
Yeah, he's definitely got like little kids in his basement, collects little figurines and porcelain dolls, and he just, you can't trust a man that quiet and that small. I don't trust him.
He's up to something. That is kind of creepy.
It's like the Joker.
You never know. So if you look at the odds and all the people that are on the radio station, someone's got to be a murderer. If you just take the national average. Jeez. Someone's got to be a demented murderer. Again, who is the spookiest member?
The spookiest.
Of 98.5 The Sports.
Just downright creepy.
And go ahead.
I would say that John Wallach is definitely the spookiest, at least for now anyways, because one creepy smile from him, and he'll be sucked through the vortex of his gap, the fiery depths of hell. But Sarge still blows.
Wallach, that wasn't very nice.
Hey, the gap's going to be gone soon, I'm telling you.
That's right. It'll fix everything.
I didn't say I was going to be perfect. I just said the gap would be gone.
All of this making fun of the gap inspired something.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Boy, I am in the lead, by the way.
I want to hear the reasoning for this. Stan, go ahead.
Oh, man, I saw Bob Ryan at like 7 o'clock in the morning at Staples one time. That was very scary.
What? Now, what would he look like at 7 a.m. at Staples?
He looked like he needed like 3-4 cups of coffee just to wake up. I mean, his hair was all over the place. It was not a good thing.
You know he's been at Staples, like, wandering all night.
I imagine, like, it's the reason he tweets out those random messages is because that's when he's holding his phone but turning into a werewolf at the same time. Send.
Ah! He's picturing him at Staples just buying paper. Like, the man needs a lot of paper for the house. All right. It's the creepy Bob Soucy. Emily, go ahead.
Hi, I think it's Nick Jamelli because he literally is the Walking Dead.
He is moments away from dying.
Yep, that's an excellent point.
At any point, he is moments away.
Yeah, that's an old classic, Nick. You haven't heard that one in a while.
That's Nick during his prank of Taco Bell. When he ordered a bunch of food and then just drove off, leaving them in scattered.
Take line two.
All right, Rich. Again, this is who is the spookiest member of the 98.5 The Sports Hub staff on this All Hallows Eve? Nate, go ahead.
Okay, so you guys know how at the end of Pinocchio he becomes a real-life boy?
Yes.
Are we 100% sure that Zolak is not Chucky from Child's Play come to life? I mean, the resemblance is uncanny.
Zolak is who?
Chucky from Child's
Play. Chucky from Child's Play.
There is a little bit of that.
Protein bars for everybody! Yeah. Energy! This guy's amped up, man!
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eat you whole, and I'm going to pass you through my digestive system.
Did anyone see the live Pinocchio? Not live, but it was like a real-life Pinocchio when you were a kid?
The guy, I thought you were talking about that Life is Beautiful dude who made Pinocchio,
no.
Which is known as one of the worst movies of all time.
No, just when his nose first grew, I remember freaking out, crying, and running around.
I read a list yesterday of the top 20 scariest scenes in any movie, and of course they got stuff from The Exorcist, but near the top of the list was the scene where all of the children turned into donkeys from the movie Pinocchio. Do you remember how effing terrifying that was when you were a kid? Remember they brought all the kids to that amusement park and they were all playing, and then all of a sudden Stromboli steps out and they all turn into like donkeys and they're screaming for their moms and get taken away in a cage?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, man. That is nightmarish stuff in like Pinocchio of all things.
Yeah, I just remember the live version where his nose starts to grow and he starts freaking out and you're like, what the hell is this for kids? Well, the lesson is don't lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the other one? The nut? Find my nuts?
All right. And Dean, you will be our last commentator. Who is the spookiest member of the 98.5 The Sports Hub staff?
There's no doubt, Beetle.
Now, why is that?
Because he literally looks like, first of all, he's going to explode. Just explode on camera. And blood will be everywhere. He is unbelievably scary looking.
All right. So it's like in the Monty Python movie where the guy eats too much and then he explodes.
Nobody said Felger. You know, he's kind of like the normal guy who's like the Ted Bundy. He's got the secret past. He keeps up appearances. No, so you're, in his spare time.
There's some stiff competition around here. You know? Well, there you go, folks.
Fred Toucher, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Blood.
Feel the pain.
Do not cross into the garage. Sacrifice.
I'm an aficionado of a number of diet drinks.
And murder.
We thought it was going to be Hook, Stewart, and Sarge, but people came through with Gammons and Bob Ryan at Staples.
Somebody said, gotta be Dan Shaughnessy. Clowns are so spooky.
Plus, you don't know what's in that fro, as we found out. 25 pencils with more room to go.
Oh, now I'm getting sent the scene from Pinocchio where they transform into donkeys.
I'm not looking at that.
Dude, it is insane.
Is that the cartoon?
Oh, in the cartoon one. And they're all screaming for their moms. And then this cage takes them away and they're all crying. Oh,
I don't want to see that live. All right, be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30, 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Tom Brady lead his team against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers this Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. We will be right back. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Everyone who watched the World Series deciding Game 5 saw David Price and the disappointment on his face when he found out that Pierce was the MVP of the whole shebang. David Price, you could tell, believed he had earned that. It's true that he deserved it. But, Rich, you have here one man's reasoning for voting for Pierce.
This was interesting because Michael Silverman, who we've had on before, he writes for the Herald. He was one of the few people who got a vote for the MVP, and he explained, because there's a lot of people, and I think it's a decent argument, who will say that David Price, without David Price, do you win those games? There's a question there. Without Steve Pierce, do you win those games? And I think probably yes. I don't have a problem with people saying that Price should have been the guy, but he justified why he voted for Pierce instead. So he had a vote, and he shared a vote, actually, with this guy named J.P. Hornstra from the Southern California News Group. So they together...
You can't just give him one vote. You got to share it.
Apparently, yeah, it's weird. He goes, we were one of five members of the electorate. The others were Fox Sports, ESPN Radio, MLB Network Feed, and MLB.com.
Everything with baseball is so annoying.
It's like, they make it way harder than it needs to be.
Why not just have everyone vote? All the writers that were there for the entire series wanted to have everyone vote.
It has to be a select few.
He said, it's MLB's policy not to announce the vote totals, but in the interest of transparency, as well as a reminder to one and all that it's election day next week and every vote counts.
Yeah, baby. Get out there and vote.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on now.
He said, we learned that we were voters about 45 minutes into game 5 on Sunday night, or about the third inning. If it appeared the Red Sox had a decent chance to win the game and clinch the series, our instructions were to come to an agreement on who we wanted to be MVP and relay it in the middle of the seventh inning. No problem. Coming into the game, there did not seem to be a clear front runner, but half an inning in, Pierce moved to the top of the list. His two-run home run off Clayton Kershaw gave the Red Sox the early lead. After a game 4 in which he hit a solo home run and a three-run double, Pierce's 7 RBI at that point were a team high. The only other candidate, in my opinion, was Price, who continues October turnaround in Game 2 with a six-inning win in which he allowed only three hits and two runs. Plus, he pitched in relief in Game 3. A strong start in Game 5 would mean competition for Pierce. After Price gave up that solo home run to David Fries in the bottom of the first, Pierce looked like the easy call, with Price's narrative returning to his postseason struggles. As the game progressed, however, Price settled into a familiar groove. He was dominating. In my mind, should the Sox win, both Pierce and Price had made major contributions to two victories, and there was nobody else in the race. After six innings of Price shutting down the Dodgers, Hornstra and I met for the first time and shared some thoughts.
Oh, the meeting in the minds, baby.
Mm-hmm. We were split. I wanted Price. He was leaning towards Pierce. Fine. We decided to punt and meet again after the seventh, another inning which Price stymied the Dodgers. I was still good with Price, and Hornstra seemed to be joining my camp. We agreed that MLB could wait on our vote, then we would see if Price pitched another inning. Then the top of the eighth happened. Pierce hit another home run. It was the insurance variety, to be sure, but it lifted his stock once again. One batter and one walk into the eighth, Price was removed, and Joe Kelly made sure the inherited runner didn't score. Price was going to get his second win, having allowed one run on three hits and seven-plus innings, and Pierce had his second home run of the game, third of the series with a team-high 8 RBI. There was no compelling reason to overlook the value of his bat, but not at Price's expense. Hornstra and I thought Price and Pierce should share MVP honors.
Yeah, it's you gotta share it.
He said, all we knew was that we were supposed to come to an agreement on our vote.
Like that Cowboys team where that Super Bowl where they had the guy with the mustache and they had two co-MVPs on defense.
Okay.
You remember that one?
Too Tall and Harvey
Too Tall?
Martin?
No.
Who was it? That was like Super Bowl 13 or something, right?
White fella.
Randy White?
Randy White.
Is it
the white fella?
The white fella, yes.
Yeah,
Randy White.
All we knew is we were supposed to come to an agreement on our vote, but if not, we could split a vote like that. We submitted our vote saying if we could vote for co-MVPs, that was our first choice, but if they needed one name only, we wanted Price. We were told splitting the vote was fine. Pierce would get half a vote, Price the other half. Ironically, if we would have settled on Price alone as our choice, we would have gotten our wish, co-MVPs. Price and Pierce would have finished with 2.5 votes each from the panel. So it goes. Pierce won the Willie Mays World Series MVP award and the truck that goes with it, while Price came up empty. In reality, he didn't. He won the World Series and gained a new reputation as a sure bet in October. That's kind of funny. So
now he holds all the cards.
He does hold all the cards. That's right.
Yeah, so
if they would have said Price, it would have been split. But they wanted it to be split, so they split their votes, and it ended up being Pierce.
Right. Just the amount of effort that they, the seriousness that they took it is just mind-boggling. So there was, how many people voted there? Five?
Yeah, sounds like five. I mean, how many votes, you mean? And that would be five. There were five votes. I don't know how many of the other guys had, like, five, six people they had to split it between, like Michael Silverman did.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to take it seriously. You can't just jump in whole hog. I mean, this is going to be what you remember. Steve Pierce. And by the way, Steve Pierce needs a lot more than Price does.
Well, I mean, sure.
Like, he could actually probably use a truck. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
now you'll look at how much he's made, and it will make you want to throw up.
Even though
he's a journeyman, he's probably made $20 million.
Is it kind of like when Tom Brady won that truck, and you're like, dude, he doesn't need a truck. Give it to Malcolm Butler.
It's just another tax bill for him.
Just give it to Malcolm Butler. Come on, give him the truck.
Right.
What do you need it for?
Now Butler doesn't need it either. But, give it to Pierce. What the guy's had it, he's put his work in.
This is going to be a weird offseason. It's weird. It's funny because if you just didn't re-sign all of the free agents that are here, like, they're pretty close to that tax threshold, just as is. So, I mean, the decisions they're going to make are not going to be easy ones, especially because next year there's a bunch of big names that are coming up, including people like Xander Bogaerts. So, if you had, like, okay, I know you don't want to re-sign Kimbrel. You want him out.
No.
Okay.
No.
Ian Kinsler, I know you more than likely to win that. Okay. All right. Then what do you do about the rest? What do you do about Eovaldi? Because Eovaldi's going to get paid somewhere.
It depends on how long the contract is.
Yep.
If someone gives him 4 years, that's too much.
No.
If I said a couple of days ago, 2 years and an option, perfect.
And two Tommy Johns and the amount he threw in a short amount of time.
And I'm betting that scares some teams off.
Absolutely.
I'm betting it scares some teams off.
Oh, yeah.
He's a warrior, and he was one of the main reasons why the Red Sox are able to win.
And he was, but he sacrificed a lot. You have to say he sacrificed a ton. for the team, and he got his ring, but I would be very, very frightened.
Nothing longer than 2 years in a team option for
especially
a
guy who throws that hard.
Nope.
With two Tommy Johns.
That's right. And for his career, he's a 500 pitcher.
Right.
He's never really been able to put it together over a long period of time. Now, is this the come to Jesus moment? Is this where he turns it all around? That's the problem. And I keep bringing up Derek Lowe, but it's perfect for this argument. Lowe is awful. The last 2 or 3 months of the 2004 season, you get to the playoffs, the Sox didn't want to pitch him. And then he winds up pitching in relief of the clinching game in the first round of the playoffs, and all of a sudden he's lights out. For the ALCS and the World Series, he was game four of the World Series. He was the clincher.
Is someone going to pay him? Is someone going to pay Pierce?
Yes. Someone is going to pay Steve Pierce. They're not going to pay him 5 years, but someone's going to pay him a lot more. He just made $6 million a year over the last 2 years.
It's such a short-sighted decision.
It is, but, again, playoff success means a lot to a lot of teams.
You got
it. My team didn't make the playoffs, but here's a proven winner in the playoffs.
I've given you a list of players that have won the MVP of the World Series, and it's nice. But, I mean, I wasn't going to hand Daryl Porter
$5
billion because he had a great World Series.
Today's day and age, Pierce is going to get paid. Ideally, you
Buddy
want
be the, on Kalana.
You want the platoon
Letterman.
Back. If you're the Red Sox, you want the platoon back. You want Moreland and Pierce like you had this year.
Fine.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
You want Joe Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Man, Joe Kelly makes me nervous because it's like I just think that he's one of those guys that just got hot at the right time.
Here's the thing,
because he's going to command a lot of money.
I don't know how much money he's going to command, but you look with Kimbrel leaving, who's your closer next year? And you have to at least consider Joe Kelly as that guy.
Right. He's got the
I don't think it's Barnes. It might be Brazier because he's got the big fastball, but Joe Kelly's part of that mix.
I have always been confused by how he came here and fell off.
That's a guy as up and down as he's been, and it was wild how up and down he was during the season, and that how well he pitched came out of nowhere in the World Series, but at least he has a track record. He's shown he can do it, at least in spurts. You're not sure about Barnes, you're not sure about Brazier, but at least you can look at Kelly and justify it and go, okay, he throws 100 miles an hour, you've seen him get hitters out in the past. Yeah, that's how you could sell it to your fan base.
There is a guy on hold. I'm not going to take the call, but he says Evaldi should be the closer, which is...
Oh, my God.
But he's called 11,000 times.
No way.
Oh, you got to put him... 11,000?
11,000?
Phil, you've called this station 11,000 times?
No. Where do you get that information from?
It says you've called in 11,044 times.
From this phone number?
I guess.
Obviously.
I don't know if the thing's broken.
Wow, I've called your show over the years. Is that a total cumulative number? Or is that?
Yeah, it's a cumulative number for all shows.
Yeah.
I'm a fan, brother, so maybe that's true.
God bless you.
And listen, we love you. I mean, that's great.
God bless you.
Thank you very much for listening.
I'm astounded, but I'm just trying to think, has this show been on the air for 11,000 days?
It's not just our show. Jeez, it's the whole thing.
No, it's everybody.
Well, God bless you there,
Who
Phil?
Doesn't call up Jones multiple times to get angry?
Long show.
PhilVincent.com. PhilVincent.com. Go to it.
All right, there
you go. Make Evaldi the closer.
Okay, no.
No.
Yes.
No,
yes,
no.
Why
no,
not? And you make Kelly the setup guy and Evaldi the closer.
I agree with Kelly being the setup guy, but I don't think you can make Evaldi the closer.
He's better than Kimbrel. He's better than Kimbrel.
He is, but he's not nearly as durable. That's
How
the
do you
problem.
Know? He's only going to be throwing one inning a game.
And he'll be throwing one inning a game on
hang on,
back
stop.
To back.
More pressing issues. Phil Vincent, are you a shredder? Like guitar?
Yes, I do the music for a couple of the shows.
I know who you are.
Hell yeah, you send us CDs with like chicks on the cover of it.
Yes, the Patriot songs, yes. Cranston, my band's Cranston.
Cranston.
You guys put it on the...
Stop
laughing, Fred.
I'm the only one not laughing.
My CD's in the... you got my CD's there, Tragic, with the nice girls on the cover.
Yeah. Tragic with a K.
All right, how do you get those girls?
That's all stock photo.
Oh, really?
God bless you, man. Hey, Phil, can you make a theme song? Can you make a Touch and Rich theme song for us?
Will you allow me to do that?
Hell yeah, I want you to do that. But as long as you're shredding throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, it's got to be like...
Absolutely. I won't do it. I never did it before because of
because of you, Rich, because I know you're a musician. I said, I can't compare to you.
You haven't heard my stuff. I want to hear some shred. Phil, I want to hear some of your shred.
It's got to be like over-the-top guitar heroics.
Right, right.
That's all I do, brother.
All right, Phil Vincent, baby. All right, thank you, Phil.
I'll get right on it.
Sounds great, man.
Wow. I mean, it's got to just be like eruption times like a million.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, it doesn't even have to say Toucher and Rich.
No, it does have to say Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, but not together. I mean, it could just go Toucher and then like just 10 minutes of shredding, and then they go and then 10 minutes of shredding. Yeah.
Like Red Beach style.
Every time I hear them, I just remember throwing up, being hungover and throwing up in the bathroom. When they were here. All right, we'll take a break and be right back.
Toucher and Rich. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die.
Repeating myself.
He rhymed years with years four times.
I don't know if there is a rhyme in here.
It's a good question. Yes.
1918, what does it mean?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He repeats that a lot.
As I was saying earlier, apparently a very ambitious salesperson at the station has booked this guy who does this song at my appearance at the Globe today.
Yeah.
Sweet.
The Globe has gone all out. They're paying that tab.
That's going to be... I'm seeing videos now, and there's people tweeting me who are already down. It's sparse at the
Oh, really? Because at 5:30 in the morning, they decided to have police out to let the duck boats go through.
Well, that is insane. So you were telling the story earlier, is that whatever about the duck boats being on the way?
I don't care about the duck boats.
But they had a police escort?
No, they had police at intersections stopping traffic.
It's like a funeral procession.
It's a police escort. They stop it at the upcoming intersection so they can go through.
No, an escort is technically when they drive with you and you get to avoid all traffic. But they had police at certain intersections. There was one. John's friend had one at 6:30 in the morning that stopped him from going to work.
Yeah, Huntington Avenue and MFA, right at the Museum of Fine Arts, they crossed over.
I mean, I almost didn't get here in time.
Yeah.
I'm saying at 5:30 for a parade that starts at 11, why is it necessary? Apparently all the duck boats are down here because I see them all the time. And so apparently they had to get them all out. And that's great. Send them out. But I have no idea why there was this huge rush to get them out there. None. And why does it have to be a duck boat, by the way?
Well, it's just because it's, there's no top on it, or you can take the top off so you can wave to the crowd, you can throw beer to them.
I don't know.
Where would you have them ride in instead?
A float, like everyone else.
But then you got to make a float.
Yeah.
You have a duck boat. Yeah.
Unless Emily Valentine's there to set it on fire.
Set that some bitch on fire in the Walsh parking lot, in the Walsh driveway. You don't want that.
I don't know. If they had a big float, then there wouldn't be the need to stop traffic at 5:30 in the morning so they can get the dumb duck boats to where they have to be.
Well, I know that a good friend of the show, even closer friend of yours, is going to be leading the parade. It was announced yesterday. The Dropkick Murphys are going to be the very first float.
And I've texted Tim, and apparently he's not up yet.
Well, I guarantee he's up, and I guarantee you they're probably there by now. They're there.
All right, then I'll call him.
Okay.
I'll call him and see if he wants to come.
I could see him being, like, busy.
I don't know. I texted him at, like, 6. So I guarantee he wasn't up at 6.
So who's on the float with them?
I guarantee.
The flatbed. The flatbed. Oh. Who's on the flatbed with
them? You ain't got Papelbon.
That's right.
We got to get Gomes.
Oh, he would be the guy.
I'm telling you, Gomes is going to creep into this somehow.
Okay.
Jaffe's going to be on at 9, and he's going to be at Fenway. Jaffe's actually got invited to the Fenway thing.
Do you think that the Fenway thing, they're going to have like a little deal where they do the, let's go Reds. I believe that's what Dan Roach is literally the only person I've heard say this is happening. is that there's going to be some sort of in-park rally, which I don't think the public was invited to. I just believe it's
usually,
like...
Well, usually it's season ticket holders. They usually invite season ticket holders to that part of it if season ticket holders want to go.
Okay, well...
That's why Orsillo was interviewing the guys. They were standing on top of the Red Sox dugout, and there were fans in the seats watching this. I think it's for season ticket holders.
All right, well then, Mike, you got to roll tape on that. I don't know who is going to be carrying that live, but that's something that we have to see. That's probably going to... Okay, they're going to be doing it? All right. Well,
I'll tell you this, is that there's about three people at the station today. I mean, this is the... And I bet you that 10% of them are going to the parade, and the other 90% are saying that they're going.
So, we were there. We were totally there.
Yeah.
Hereford. Yeah, we were standing right in the corner there. By the way, Hereford of Boston.
Somebody said, someone already tried to sell me a bootleg world champion t-shirt. You ever bought a bootleg shirt? I'm not talking about the ones that are at the stands out there. They're like Sully's brands. I'm talking about the guys just running around with a bag of shirts. I got one time. I was like I forget what concert it was. I think it was a Guns N' Roses show, and it ended up like fitting like it was like my one of those football ones that cuts off at the belly button. I hold it up, and it was like super long with the shoulders, and it's like all the rejected shirts they end up making them selling them to you.
All right, Tim just got back to me, and I said, "You want to come on the show today?" And he said, "I have to go to the parade." And I said, "Can you call in?"
That's the point.
Yeah, so that's why we want you on, Tim.
I don't think believes that being in the parade is the greatest thing in the world.
I'm just worried that they might not. They might be rusty, seeing that they haven't really played this song much. Oh, Tessie is the girl on the sail that I
ride. I need to have Tim on so I can beg him not to play Tessie. I don't know. I'm going to be
a video game, man. Every time I hear this, I think of that video game.
Yep.
What is it, MLB 05?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, my God.
I told you in 2007 when they won and Papelbon was being a jackass. It was the one day of the year that I was, like, sick to my stomach and I couldn't get out of bed and I wanted to vomit. That flatbed that had this band and Papelbon on it was stuck in front of my apartment building for, like, 10 minutes. And it was like... the loudest thing ever, and I was like, make it go away!
All right, we will have no commercials here, just the headlines. From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Boston Red Sox World Series.